well be my fault. All right, we're back here on Hawk Hill Sports on Radio 1851. Before we get to college hoops, we have a caller. Bob from Philadelphia has a question for the three of us.
Hello, Bob.
Bob, thanks for the call.
Bob, how you doing?
Guys. Good, good. How are you? Good show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, I'm just wondering, I mean, one of the things I see when I look at Nick Foles for the Eagles is he doesn't have a real strong arm and his feet are slow. And in the Chip Kelly offense, you know, I think you need somebody who's quick of foot, not a runner, but somebody who can move out of the pocket, somebody with a strong arm, and somebody who's a good decision maker. And I think Nick has one of the three, but not all three. How do you think Russell Wilson would do in the Chip Kelly offense?
Wow.
That's really what I wanted to hear you guys talk about. So I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bob.
To answer that question, which is a good question, something I've kind of been talking about all year.
Fantasizing about,
yeah. I think the Eagles need a quarterback who is a threat to run. And I've been saying it all year. Not necessarily a guy like Vic, who is just the fastest guy out there. But if they're running this read option, and you got LeSean McCoy coming across the middle, and the quarterback is sticking the ball out, either going to hand it off or keep it, with Nick Foles, there's no threat for him to keep it. So for me, having a quarterback like Russell Wilson would not only make the Eagles as a whole better, it would make LeSean McCoy better, and that's a scary thought for other teams.
Right. I agree, but the question is, do you want to give up Foles in search of this quarterback? Like, would you be thinking about trying to draft a more mobile quarterback, or do you just stick with what's working? Because it's not like it didn't work this year. Clearly, Foles is like I don't know where we put him in, you know, the ranking of
in the pantheon
NFL quarterbacks, but... You know, he's at the very least fairly above average,
right.
I'd say. I feel confident saying that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the question is not whether or not... Because obviously the threat of a running quarterback would be better for the Chip Kelly offense, but you need to have a good decision maker as well. And as Bob mentioned, the fact that, you know, you have one of those elite qualities... I don't know if you want to get rid of that.
That might be the hardest one to find, too.
Yeah.
The decision making.
You know,
just good decision makers will just grow on trees, I would say. And, you know, we saw what Nick Foles is capable of this year. And I think if you're capable of that and if you can build on that, I mean, he's only going to get better, hopefully. Famous last words, but he's only going to get better. And I think you'll see his growth. And I think his decision making is what's going to set the foundation for that.
Yeah. I mean, the only quarterback who I would, in this draft, who I'd really use a first round pick on would be Manziel,
and he's going number one.
He won't be there for the Eagles. I mean, later in the draft, there's a couple guys who I wrote about for the Hawk. Logan Thomas, Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Smith from Wyoming. You know, just guys who you draft in a later round and maybe they turn into something.
Yeah.
But it's low risk, medium reward. Yeah. Potentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that was a good question, though. I liked that.
Yeah, but I just think that you want your quarterback to be smart above all else.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Nick Foles is that, and that's a good thing.
I think the problem is that you do know kind of the ceiling of Nick Foles at this point.
I think this year was
especially
the ceiling.
Especially in this, you know, the situation that Chip Kelly's putting him in. And, it's tempting because you can see that there is a alternative in which if you did have a mobile quarterback that could also make decisions like Foles, then where could this team go? And that's what's going to be tantalizing to all Eagles fans, I think.
Yeah, that's going to be the question of the season, the off season, I should say. It's just, do they do anything about the quarterback position?
I don't think they do.
I don't think you can.
No, I agree. Not yet. See what happens this year.
The thing is this, he's not going to only turn the ball over, what was it, four times?
Mm-hmm. That was an aberration.
He's going to turn it over a few more times than that.
He just is.
And he's going to come back to earth. So that's probably going to affect the Eagles' win total. And, you know, from there we'll see. But for what he did last year, I think certainly that he's worth holding on to for another year at minimum.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's get into some college hoops. Saturday night was the most hyped regular season college basketball game I can remember.
Yeah.
Syracuse Duke at the Carrier Dome, largest on-campus crowd ever. And that was before we even get to the game, which was great. How about that atmosphere? How many people was it?
It was nuts.
35,000, 36.
A ridiculous amount of people.
You got the people who are at the opposite end of the football stadium. Probably can't see anything.
Yep.
But they're still there. Going nuts. They didn't even put the lights on above them for Do you guys notice that? The people in the far corner, the lights are just lights out.
They're just in the dark.
But they're there.
They can say that they were at the first. I do think that's a huge rivalry that's about to...
It's the beginning of a huge rivalry, especially after a game like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Absolutely.
But, I mean, you know, you get the buzzer beater by Duke to send it to overtime. It's just a back-and-forth game. Syracuse, 91-89 in overtime, for those of you who didn't know. Then later that night, Arizona falls to California. So Syracuse is now number one. I'm going to ask you guys, are they the best team in the country?
They look the part.
I'm not sure how good... obviously, very good. But how good do we think Tyler Ennis is? Because I think that's what it's going to come down to, is whether or not he can continually be as good as he's been.
But they're more than him. I mean, CJ Fair, Jeremy Grant,
the starting five is
combined
insane.
For what, 52 points against Duke. Mm-hmm. Trevor Cooney, lights out shooter from three. Earlier this week he played. Who'd they play?
Yeah,
I'm blanking, but he
mm-hmm. went monkey poo on him.
Yeah, eight or nine threes.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're
Notre
deep.
Dame.
Notre Dame. That's it
for 33. 9 of 12 from deep, and. 11 of 15 overall. All he does is shoot threes, but he makes them.
Well,
yeah.
I think I love CJ Fair, have loved CJ Fair.
So yeah,
but
CJ
I
Fair
do think that this team goes as far as Tyler Ennis is going to bring them. And I don't watch enough games. That was the first Syracuse game I've watched this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked excellent and very like composed for a freshman, which you like to see. But I don't know. I'm interested to see if he can continue to bring this team to where they need to be, because you'd like your senior to be the leader of a team. Mm-hmm. And I think CJ Fair is going to give you what CJ Fair gives you, and he's just a pretty consistent kind of guy. But he's not like a he's not a, you know, flashy kind of go out and get you a bunch of points and turn a game around by himself, but I think Ennis can be that.
Yeah,
I think sometimes you do need that, especially in the tournament when it comes down to. At some point, something's not going to go your way, and you need someone to kind of step up and give you one or two plays to turn something around, at least the momentum for you. And yeah. I'm not sure CJ Fair is that, and I think Ennis can be that. And I'm interested to see if he will be, I guess.
It's a real contrast in styles, too, in this game. Syracuse won the game. They made 3 three-pointers. And this game went to overtime. Okay? They won it with 3 three-pointers. Duke hit 15 three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what they do. But you watch the overtime, and you see, I believe it was Jeremy Grant, got about 3 consecutive dunks. Cuse just kept feeding him on the inside. Duke couldn't do anything about it. So I thought it was very interesting to see. But the shooting that Duke has year after year after year, it's really astounding, the players that they have.
They moved up in the rankings after that game. They're better than 17th, which is what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always like to give a shout-out to these guys. Rakeem Christmas on Syracuse and Emil Jefferson on Duke. Played against both of them in high school. They were in the same league as my... My school. Shout out to the Friends School League.
I'm going to one-up you.
Yeah.
Tyler Thornton was my classmate in high school.
Oh, yes. He did one-up me. Not only did he go to your school, you were in the same class.
Well, Jay Wow went to my high school. So,
Andrew wins.
There's that.
Yep, we got a new winner. I concede.
It was the pride of Columbia out there.
But Thornton had a nice little game there, too. He had three big threes right in a row there, I think, for Duke during a big stretch for them. But he's another one of those guys. He's a classic Duke player, a 3-and-D type of guy, you know, like Shane Battier.
Yeah, as for Syracuse being the best team in the country, I think right now you have to give them that.
Yeah.
The unanimous number one in both polls. I think Florida is a team that is kind of quietly... I mean, they're number three, so they're not too quiet, but they're not getting as much hype as Syracuse,
as Arizona.
They don't
have a Fab freshman or whatever the heck.
Oh, yep. They just got their Fab freshman back. I think he's a freshman. They just got someone back who played their last game.
Chris Walker.
Who they didn't have all year. Skywalker, yeah. Who's supposed to be...
He's very athletic.
He was one of the top recruits in the country, and they just got him back.
Okay.
So they're
okay.
Even more dangerous now. And to be fair, the SEC is weak.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's not a lot of other teams in there.
Right. So, I do think they're good, but I'm not sure how good they are. Michigan State's the team to me that is Syracuse's biggest competition on the net when it comes to the NCAA tournament. I think Michigan State, when they get healthy, when they get Payne back, going along with the guys they have, Gary Harris.
Yeah, Gary Harris.
I'm forgetting the other guard's name. But
Michigan State's like ninth at the time.
Appling.
There it is. I think when healthy, they're the best team in the country. I like their veteran leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I was big on Oklahoma State before the year. I still think they can make some noise. Duke, Kansas.
It's going to be a fun tournament.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a really fun tournament.
We can kind of get into this now. That is going to be a bit of a sleeper, I think. Cinderella this year is St. Louis. And St. Louis came to Hawk Hill last night and just
did dirty things.
Did what they do and just dismantled the Hawks. You guys watch the game?
I was there. It was really tough to watch.
Yeah.
Because in very St. Joe's fashion, so it was tied, I want to say 18-18 or maybe it was 20-20.
When we still had hope.
And yeah, it was looking good. We were playing all right, but you could tell that they just hadn't gotten to their rhythm yet. And then all of a sudden it was just very
quickly.
How about
they didn't get to their rhythm for the whole game?
It was like 27-20, and I was like, when did that happen? Yeah. And then it was 35-22, and I was like, how? They made it look easy, and then after that we just could not score because we don't have an offense.
St. Joe's basketball, man. There's no depth to this team.
Yeah.
No. You know, Khalil Kanisevich, Ronald Roberts Jr., and Langston Galloway all played 39 out of a possible 40 minutes. Those are arguably our three best players, and we lost by nearly 20 points. And they played just about the entire game. They're getting no relief from the bench. Javon Bauman was the eighth man off, the third man off the bench. He played 1 minute. Isaiah Miles, 6 minutes. Papa Now, maybe the least deserving bench player there is, played 20
Papa
minutes.
Now. Papa. And it's so tough because how great would the Time Is Now shirts be if Papa was any good?
So many now puns that you could come up with.
I could get it.
The possibilities are endless.
And just nothing. Nothing. He gives us nothing. Yep.
If he was, a fan favorite, there would definitely be some shirts out there. But
he's not.
No one likes him because he stinks.
Yeah. So St. Joe's beats UMass.
But we will totally have him on the show.
We might.
Will we?
I would love to have him on the show. Papa?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, they beat UMass, then they get St. Louis and VCU the next two games. And, campus, there was a buzz, I feel like, for the first time all year.
I tell you, there wasn't any buzz in my own head. I knew that, look, you win a couple games, fine. You're not winning them against anybody.
But it's St. Massachusetts, Louis at home. You got to think that they have a chance. And
at home, you always give St. Joe's a chance for whatever reason. But St. Louis is the type of team that doesn't get rattled. They don't rely on their offense to win them games. They rely on their defense. And our offense stinks. Their defense is great. We couldn't get anything going. We didn't crack 50 points.
It was a poor situation to be in. Yeah.
I would say that if we don't ever score above 50 points, we won't ever win a game again.
After watching the St. Louis game, VCU is going to destroy us this weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be bad. I'm big on VCU. Shaka Smart's.
We let a guy named Rob Lowe lead.
They had a Rob Lowe?
The opposite team in scoring.
Rob Lowe had a silky jumper.
He definitely did.
Tell you.
Three of five.
He's like 7 feet tall, too.
Beyond the arc.
No, I was furious that he kept getting wide open three-pointers because we just don't play good defense.
Auckland, pride of Auckland, New Zealand also, by the way. So a New Zealander named Rob Lowe lit up the Hawks in Hagen Arena. There's your headline.
I was there.
There's your headline.
Yeah, basically the reason that it was so upsetting is I do think we had an outside chance of being ranked if we had pulled off the
victory. They got a vote in the coaches' poll. You think that was Martelli?
We got a vote.
I hope it wasn't Martelli. He was like, we should.
Put us in at number two, just so it doesn't look like someone took a number one vote away from Syracuse.
Yeah.
Syracuse 1, St. Joe's 2, Wichita 3.
Martelli, I don't think any of us are huge fans of Phil's, but he just makes me laugh. When he's on TV...
Do you see the halftime?
The halftime interview was great. He got very upset. He could barely speak. We were scared. We didn't want the ball.
He's very tentative. We're not tentative.
Walked off before the reporter could thank him for staying. But when he's on TV, every time they cut to him, he's either wordless with his arms crossed or he's clapping his hands. Mm-hmm. Those are his two bits that he does. I don't think he says motivational things. I think he just... crosses his arms or claps.
I bet he throws
hands.
The clipboard every now and then. You think
in the locker room he
Absolutely.
Might?
Absolutely.
You think he's a clipboard thrower?
I think he's definitely a clipboard thrower. I can tell. I can just see
You can just see
Sometimes
the clipboard you throwers.
Yeah,
you just know
like,
when you see him.
He was very upset at the halftime of the St. Louis game. He might have thrown a clipboard then.
I can promise you.
He's going to be more upset after halftime of VCU, dude. I just have a feeling.
Yeah.
VCU is just going to...
I said that if we could make it out of... these three games I knew was a big just a big stretch for us.
Mm-hmm. Biggest of the year.
I said if we could get two of the three, I would be consider it a success and we would be okay going forward.
That's
as long as we could win the games that we need to win going forward, which we don't do. St. Joe's has proven that we don't always win the games that we should win. But if we did do that, you know, I do think VCU is a winnable game. Whether or not we do win it is up to them. You seem to think that they're... I mean,
yeah,
I'm
big on VCU. Yeah.
But so
I'm going to say they lose.
Well,
a bold prediction.
Way out
Kevin.
On a limb and say that they lose.
Well, I'm going to go with the win. So 1-1, Stoke City.
Like
you
say,
the St. Joe's isn't going to win.
Like I say, it is a home game for the Hawks. So you give them that shot. But
yeah, and we're making it sound like Hagen Arena's like this tough place to play. It's no Carrier Dome. 35,446 was the number at the Carrier Dome.
Right. Have we talked about this
what
before?
What do we got, like 6,000 maybe?
Yeah, but I think the smaller
it definitely gets
louder. Because
it definitely
loud,
gets
yeah.
loud in there.
How about have I complained about this before, how in the second half the opposing team does not shoot towards the student section? So when they're shooting their free throws, they're shooting at just random
Why
fans.
Is that?
I don't know. I wish I
that's
did.
That's stupid.
That is very stupid. In the second half, it's us. Maybe that's why we miss all our free throws.
No, I think... do you think they ever practice free throws? I feel like they don't.
I was saying
if they
that
did,
I would go on record after watching that game saying that is all we would be doing next practice if I was...
It's all
Martelli.
They should be doing every practice. It's been a problem for years.
Yeah.
I mean, they missed 12. You know, you make 10 of those. You're at 65-59.
And
maybe
beyond
other things happened. I don't know.
Beyond the points, it was very a momentum killer. Is that every there was a stretch where they would go down and score, and then we'd come down, get fouled, and it'd be like, all right, perfect.
We're gonna get these points back.
Exactly. Like we're about to just cut it under 10. Like there was a time where it was just 10 points, and then we kept fluctuating from like 12 to 8. But then there was a point where they just kept scoring, and then we'd make 1 of 2. And then, so it's like, it was an exchange that we kept losing. And that's what it was like. Every time we went to the line, it was like, oh, there we go, 2 points.
And
no.
When you're trying to make up those points, you maybe hit some threes.
Yeah.
Nope. We hit 1 3-pointer in the course of the game. Langston Galloway, 0 3-pointers. Papanau.
Papanau. That was
a
big one, yeah.
1 out of 15.
That's depressing.
Good for 6.7%.
Yeah. No,
Galloway could not get open.
For anyone that didn't, watch, Bembry looked terrible and outclassed, which I was sad about. Langston looked not productive.
He had the ball in his hands too much.
Khalil kept getting to good spots and would just miss bunnies.
Yeah.
Definitely missed a couple bunnies.
Yeah. So, as I said, Ron was the only one that was kind of productive. Did his thing.
He wasn't very noticeable, though, at the same time. Also missed half of his free throws.
Yeah. So,
all in all, very depressing. Pretty standard stuff for St.
Joe's. Just another St. Joe's basketball game post Jameer Nelson.
Yep.
We beat UMass. Let's not forget about that. That was big. We should have beat them twice
out of the top 25.
So,
yeah, we should have beat them twice. We really should have. All right, let's go on a break. When we get back, we're going to talk some Olympics. Are you excited for the Olympics? Let us know. 610-660-1098.
I'm glad I'm not there. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. We'll get into that when we return to Hawk Hill Sports on Radio 1851.